And we're live, just like the Lakers, two shows in a row without internet difficulties to start this thing off. welcome everybody to the Lakers Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host Gary Kester. Joining me today is a fellow Mountain West. We have an all Mountain West show today. It's kind of It's kind of cool. Shout out to the Mountain West, even though we're like not heard from in bowl games at all this year. Honey, happy New Year first and foremost. Did you do anything special to end 2015?
I watched the Lakers today to start 2016, and I think that's the most special thing that I could have done.
Yeah, I guess that's a good word for it. It was special, so we'll leave it at that. all right, so the Lakers, okay, we can go ahead and say it right now while it lasts. The Lakers are undefeated this year.
Yes.
So the year is only a day old, and the Lakers have played one game against the worst team in the league record-wise, but you got to start somewhere. So the Lakers beat the 76ers tonight by 9. They avenged their first loss to the Sixers earlier this season, which was the Sixers' first win. And it was kind of an interesting game. Hani, we'll start with the bad in this game. What were some of the negatives that you saw tonight?
Just really ugly offense, both in terms of just making shots, but also the offense being maybe even more stagnant than usual, which is like, it might be a factor of Kobe not playing, which for all his faults, he's been really good at getting the ball moving a little bit over the last couple of weeks. So that might have been one of the reasons why. But, yeah, overall, the offense was just really gross.
Yeah, and I kind of noticed it to start the game out. Like, Philly does a pretty good job of, for the most part, from what I've seen, of just extending their defense, you know, applying pressure out on the perimeter, making things a little more difficult. They've got a couple guys that can kind of hound you out there, and they seem to be doing that pretty well in the first half. But, I mean, ultimately, the Lakers did a lot of standing around. It was almost like they were hungover from celebrating the end of the new year last night. So, it was for three quarters, it was just really bad basketball. You know, it was pretty crazy. But, in the fourth quarter, things changed for the Lakers. What did they do? What did they do to just kind of get out of the funk that they were in?
I think a lot of it actually was – defensively, they got a couple of turnovers or just running the ball after rebounds and the such. And D'Angelo Russell, who had a pretty rough game for the first three quarters, just came alive in the fourth to get everybody going.
Yeah.
Just speeding up the game really helped, because that was probably the biggest problem in the first three quarters. And just him and Randall and a couple of the other guys just moving the ball and being quick and getting into fast offense probably was the biggest factor for me.
Yeah, that was the thing. And the Stu Lance and Bill McDonald kind of mentioned during the game a few times that Philly is, I think they lead the league in turnovers per game. And they were turning the ball over in the first half, but it was a lot of dead ball turnovers, you know, like they stepped out of bounds or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think in the fourth quarter, the Lakers did a good job of getting defensive stops and, you know, getting a few steals and things like that. And that triggered the break. And, you know, the Lakers were – I mean, the Lakers are a team, this team especially, because they have so many guys that can handle the basketball. They're built to get out and run, right? You know, you know, Mike D'Antoni is an associate coach for the Sixers, but they're kind of built to run his offense, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a bunch of fast, athletic guys that aren't super great at running half-court offense yet. So the more that they can attack defenses that aren't set, the better for them.
Yeah, it's the half-court offense kind of irritates me sometimes, because it's usually the Lou Williams show or the Kobe Bryant show. You know, it's a lot of ISO basketball. You know, when those, you know, I love, as much as I love Kobe and this being his final year and everything, and Lou has his moments. But when those two aren't on the floor, it just seems like the offensive flow is so much just so much better. You know, guys are cutting baseline and actually running the Princeton offense, and, you know, they're running high pick and rolls for Russell and things like that. So, you know, that was honestly the first thought with Kobe being out tonight, was that, you know, hey, maybe the ball's going to move a little bit more. But Kobe has been better at that lately. But no. Like we mentioned, though, getting stops and getting out in transition, you know, getting out on the break really energized not only the crowd, but I think the Lakers as well.
Yeah.
And speaking of getting out on the break and making energizing plays, if you guys missed the game, D'Angelo Russell had just a sick like over the head pass to Randall in transition without even looking, and Randall finished it off with a dunk. Byron Scott had kind of an interesting quote after the game regarding it, because he doesn't. I'm at this point, I almost feel like Byron Scott just doesn't like D'Angelo Russell as a person.
It just really might come down to it.
He's like this stupid kid kind of thing. We'll give you guys the first part of the quote, but when asked about it, Byron said, "I think he was thinking about getting on ESPN, one of the top plays or something," which everybody, of course, Twitter just started losing their minds after that. And I did too initially, but then he did finish off the quote by saying it was pretty cool. But this kind of goes back to, I mean, really everything Byron says, you know, regarding the young guys. He seems to have sort of this like backhanded way of kind of bringing the guys down, you know, would you say?
Yeah. And I think it's probably the most frustrating thing about Byron, because you have other coaches that aren't great with X's and O's, but I don't think any other coach just so publicly and so often decides to degrade his players. And like, this quote maybe isn't the worst, and we don't know how he said it because we're just reading the words. Mm-hmm. Like, the demeanor that he says it in matters, but at the same time, it's just like, you can not make it seem kind of like a like D'Angelo's being a showboat or kind of doing flashy things instead of just calling it like a good play, which it was.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think he's, you know, I mean, to a certain extent, you can hold the young guys to a different standard and, you know, things along those lines. But I guarantee you, if Kobe Bryant would have done the same play, I mean, Byron would have gushed over it. I mean, he would have literally been the emoji with the two hearts for the eyes. Like, that's what Byron Scott would have been on that play. So, you know,
it's somebody just, please Photoshop that.
Anthony Irwin, okay, I know you've been like huge into Photoshop these last few days and it's been terrible, but just, you got to get that done, man. Like, I will actually give you credit for that one. Okay, so since we're on the topic of Russell, one thing that I've noticed recently, and I think a lot of other people are starting to kind of pick up on it, is how well him and Clarkson seem to really kind of are building chemistry together. And you wrote about that today, right? And
yeah.
So go ahead and just talk about kind of what you wrote about and just kind of some things that you're noticing between those two on the court.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of like the big storylines for the season so far has been, and really for like the Lakers future, is whether or not Clarkson and Russell can play together, which I think is a valid question just because we kind of know them as more ball dominant guards. Both of them are kind of combo guards. Mm-hmm. So I decided to look through some numbers and just off the eye test as well, that Clarkson especially is doing a really good job of getting better playing off the ball. And he's been really good shooting off the catch. He's like catch and shoot shot has been really good. He's shooting the three better than he did last year. And cutting also, both him and Russell. And to me, it's a lot of people want, you know, Russell to be the lead ball handler and have the ball in his hands all the time, which he should have the ball in his hands most of the time because he's the better playmaker. But I think the best teams have multiple guys who can catch the ball and then put it on the floor and keep making plays over and over again until the defense gives them a good shot. So I think that's kind of a really big part of what they can do together.
Right. And, you know, a classic example of that is the Golden State Warriors. I mean, obviously they're far more talented, but the reason why they're so good is because they have, you know, a Steph Curry, they have a Klay Thompson, they've got Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala. They've got all these guys that can make plays for others, you know, and can break down a defense and, you know, cause defensive rotations and create mismatches and things like that. You know, and that versatility is what makes them so good. Everybody, obviously, you know, they point to the three-point shooting and the ball movement and stuff like that, but it's the versatility of their roster. You know, Draymond Green can honestly play all five positions. Yeah. And, you know, his importance is I mean, he's crucial to that team's success, both offensively and defensively. So, you know, just having those versatile players that are kind of interchangeable, like Clarkson and Russell are, you know, will be, I think will be, you know, instrumental in the Lakers' future. And,
right.
You know, I think obviously it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time and repetition for them to kind of get used to everything that they do on the court, but they both seem to move really well without the basketball. I've noticed Russell doing that a lot more lately, where he's cutting back door when Clarkson drives and vice versa. So, you know, having those two do things like that is key. Even though I would agree with you, I think Russell needs the ball in his hands more, because I think his point guard skills naturally are just better. Because Clarkson kind of sometimes can be a ball movement killer, because he'll just kind of catch and dribble and try and do like an ISO or something like that. But no, I'm glad you mentioned kind of, you know, just the having multiple playmakers and kind of the importance that it has on the offense. So, did you have anything else you wanted to add in terms of, you know, the fit between Russell and Clarkson or anything on that subject?
You mentioned about Russell being really good at moving off the ball. He really has been the best cutter on the team, which is kind of hilarious because he's the point guard and he should have the ball in his hands. But he's been really good, really most of all season, but even recently. And I put up a Vine in that video, in that article I wrote, of Clarkson having the ball and getting deep into the paint, and then Russell just comes out of nowhere cutting and gets an easy layup. So, like, I think those are the kind of plays that they can play together, and it shows that they should be able to coexist without much of a problem at all.
Yeah, and they're both at least decent three-point shooters, into where they can space the floor too, that if one breaks down the defense, they can kick it out to the other. And you know, just things like that could make them a really dynamic duo. So, but no, those are all good points. And I think, you know, that's why just those two could be really exciting down the line. So I had something else I wanted to add. And then as I was blabbering, it just totally sailed out of my mind. So if I remember it, we'll come back to it. But okay, so we're going to go ahead and transition into questions. And this first question is appropriate, since this is one of the very few, very rare occasions this year that the Laker fans in attendance were able to get tacos. The Lakers won and held their opponent under 100 points, which I think the latter is a bigger deal. But
yeah,
they were playing Philly after all. So our own Ryan Kelepier, who obviously has time to ask us questions but not come on the podcast, asks us, soft or crunchy tacos?
I got to go with both, really. I really don't have a preference. I love both.
I'd have to kind of agree with you. I do have a preference. I would say soft tacos. Byron Scott would probably hate me. But no, I prefer soft tacos. But crunchy tacos, I mean, are good too. And
Ryan
seems to hate crunchy tacos, so that makes me want them even more. So
they're basically Clarkson and Russell. They can coexist. You can have a little bit of both.
Yeah. You can have both on the same plate. Go good. All right. And okay, I guess we're just going to stick with the theme for now for Lakers outsiders sending the Lakers outsiders questions. Matt Vazine actually sent us a serious question, and he said, if you were the head coach, so basically if you were Byron, who would you have replaced Kobe with in the starting lineup tonight? And those of you that don't know, he replaced him with Anthony Brown at small forward.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with Anthony Brown starting. I know a lot of people probably want D'Angelo, but putting D'Angelo in technically means that he's playing next to Clarkson and Lou Williams, so I don't think I want that. But Anthony Brown needs minutes, and why not just throw him into the starting lineup? And he fits pretty well with those guys, so why not?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, if I had the choice, I would have Lou Williams be the sixth man and start D'Angelo Russell and then throw in Anthony Brown with him.
Yeah.
But if I had to just choose just one person, I would tend to agree. I'd rather just have Anthony Brown out there, just because, you know, he's a guy that's not going to get in the way offensively. He's going to stand out on the three-point line and space the floor because he can shoot, and he's a decent defender. And you want to get him those minutes, because he's kind of been back and forth between the Lakers and the D-League this year. So getting him those minutes on the court you know, that's important. So, all right, we have one more question, I think, from fellow outsiders. And this is from Kyle. So he asks, how awesome are chicken tacos? I guess we're back on the taco subject. On a scale of Byron Scott to the 2010 finals.
Oh, man. I'll put them at Kobe's 62 3/4.
Wow. Yeah,
that's at about the high. Not quite the championship level, but pretty good.
I don't remember the last time I had chicken tacos, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Man. I mean, beef is the way to go.
I'm trying to think of like a middle ground, but
Mark Madsen.
Mark Madsen dancing. Like, that was a good time. So we'll go with that. Mark Madsen dancing is the equivalent to chicken tacos and how good they are. If we don't get a chicken taco sponsor after that, I mean, we might just have to shut down this site.
Maybe we can get an endorsement from Jack in the Box.
Oh, shout out to Billy McDonald and the way he awkwardly pronounces sponsors. Oh, man. Okay, so we're going to transition to a serious question here. And this is about the Philadelphia 76ers, since, I guess, you know, the Lakers played them tonight. And the question comes from – I didn't even write it down, so sorry. I didn't write it down who it came from. Do you like the front court of Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel together?
Not really, no. I don't – I mean, obviously they can get better, but I don't think they work very well together because, like, Noel needs a lot of spacing around him because all he does is roll to the rim and dunk, and he can't do anything else. And Okafor doesn't shoot, and – I mean, there's other problems with Okafor too. He can't defend or anything. But overall, I don't think I really like them playing next to each other enough.
Yeah, I mean, they're both talented guys. One's a lot better defensively. One's a lot better offensively. Yeah. But yeah, just it's a really weird fit because I've noticed when Okafor is not on the floor with Noel, when Noel's out there and he's the only big, like the Sixers are actually really effective running the pick and roll because he has so much room to dive and if he's open. They either throw lobs to him because he's a freak athlete or the whole defense has to collapse, you know, and then that frees up some shooters on the outside. So it's a weird fit. Like, if you have a half-court style team, which the Sixers are, like, really young, so they're another team that, you know, is probably going to look to run all the time. And I don't know the numbers on, like, their transition offense or whatever, but, you know, as a team that probably wants to run, Okafor is really not a great fit there. You know, because he's more of a, like, when he's a back to the basket kind of guy, if you can dump it down to him in the post, like, that's obviously where he's effective. But, both of them have serious flaws. Noel's is really his offensive game, while Okafor, defensively, he has a long way to go. Hmm. So, yeah, it's a weird fit. They're talented, I'll give them that, but it's a really weird fit, so.
The weird thing is the guy that can play with both of them is Joel Embiid. Like, if he can get healthy, I think he can play with both of those guys, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird that they have Embiid kind of waiting to recover from his latest injury, and they have Dario Saric, you know, overseas, prepped to come over.
And I forget about him every time.
Yeah, and then it's like if they get the number one pick, they can draft Ben Simmons, and it's like, how many front court players do you need? So that's kind of –
Apparently, Embiid should stand still threes during warm-ups now, so he can probably play a shooting guard for him.
There you go. Honestly, they probably have to have Ben Simmons just run point guard.
Yeah.
If they have him. I mean, he's a great passer and playmaker, so.
He'd be the best point guard on the roster.
Oh, come on, man. Ish Smith. Oh, Ish Smith was really bad tonight. Obviously, Sam Hinkie got a hold of him before the game.
No more of that Ish.
Oh my God. Oh, all right. Okay, I guess we're transitioning back to another silly question. And this comes from one of the Australian outsiders. If you could be any Australian animal, what would you be?
What's the one that supposedly eats babies? A dingo?
I figured that was just all of them. I've seen so many crazy like horror stories about Australian animals, like, you know, octopus is like launching out of the water to kill some kind of living creature, or like a dog-sized gecko on the side of a house or something. I remember seeing something like that.
Australia is a weird place, dude.
Like, I used to want to go to Australia until I heard all these stories. It's like, yeah. I do value my life a little bit, so I kind of want to avoid that, that area. I honestly couldn't even answer that question because there's so many terrifying animals there. Like, I feel like every week, like, a new one pops up. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'll be a koala so I can be as far away from the other ones as possible. On top of the trees.
Okay, I guess I'd be a kangaroo, just because if you remember the Super Bowl last year and that Avocados from Mexico commercial, they did like the animal all-time draft or whatever, and the kangaroo was the top pick, so that's the highest contract right there.
There you go.
Okay, before we become the Australian outsiders, we're going to move back to Lakers and Sixers here, and so this is another pretty good question. Who is further into rebuilding between the 76ers and the Lakers?
I'd probably say the Lakers. I think they got more young guys that are ready to play at a pretty high level right away. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I thought they'd win more games this year, so that would help them get free agents, but that's not happening. But either way, I think their plan is a little more concrete. Like, there's more direction to it than what the Sixers are doing.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers just continuously, they're trying to be bad over and over and over. Like, and somehow they keep managing to accomplish it. Like, they keep getting worse record-wise every year. Like, eventually they're just going to have to go 0-82 at this rate. But no, I'd agree. I think the Lakers have more guys that can be significant contributors, you know. And the Sixers, they've got some nice pieces. Like, they're a super young team. But, you know, when I think of their young guys, obviously it's Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, and then you've got Joel Embiid, who knows if he's ever going to be healthy. You know, that injury he's coming right back from is a serious injury, especially for somebody as big as he is.
Yeah.
And then Saric, we haven't even seen play in the NBA yet. And, you know, I know they have, like, an abundance of draft picks, which is great and all, but as of right now, I would say, you know, give me Randall, Clarkson, Russell, and Nance over Okafor and Noel. So maybe we're biased, I don't know, but, you know, we'll both agree on that.
Yeah, if we're Lakers outsiders, then we're Sixers, like, way outsiders.
We are 76ers, like, out of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, for anybody that hasn't been following us, Hani hasn't seen Star Wars The Force Awakens yet, so make sure you block him on Twitter after this, or at least report him as spam. I've seen it twice now, and you haven't seen it once. I got to hear an explanation real quick for this.
So I was supposed to go with some friends. One of them went without me. And then the other ones haven't joined me yet. So maybe this week. This week feels like a good week. It's 2016, New Year's resolution.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like just booting you from the podcast right now. kind of making me mad that you haven't seen it yet, and I've seen it twice. And I never go to the movies. Like, so you should feel terrible. Just,
I do.
If I could force choke you through the screen right now, I probably would.
Okay. He said sorry.
All right. So another question. We'll try and get back on track here. Any chance that Byron comes back next year?
Yeah, but I really hope not. I'm sure there's a chance, but I put it at very slim.
Yeah, it's. I want to quote Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance. With the Lakers front office and the way they've operated the past couple of years, like, there's always a chance. Like, you can't rule anything out. Like, they've just done really weird things. And so, I mean, there's a chance, but he shouldn't be back. So
Yeah, the fact that he's still coaching right now scares the crap out of me. Like, every night I go to bed thinking, oh my God, what if he's still the coach next year?
Oh, no. Like, yo, Lakers, you fired Mike Brown after five games in your second season. Come on. Okay, so this is the last question that we got that I wrote down. We got a lot of other questions, and, like, Matt obviously asked who the head coaching candidate should be, which that would be, like, 20 shows in a row that we've answered that question. But this is a decent question because it's talking about one of the possible candidates after Byron. Are you afraid that Luke Walton is just a product of Golden State's roster, and, you know, is he getting kind of like too much credit for their record and things like that?
Yes, I think for sure that a lot of his success is the fact that they've got a really good team, and he's basically running the same system that Steve Kerr put in. So he hasn't done much X's and O's coaching. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I would say that the fact that he hasn't gotten in the way is itself like a really good virtue. Like, I think that's a big part of coaching, is knowing when to step away and just let the guys that know how to do it do it. So for that reason, I'm pretty confident that he could replicate, like, to not obviously to this success because that's insane, but he could do something similar with another team with less talent.
Yeah, and you know, that's a valid concern, is that, you know, he's just kind of a product of a super talented roster. But at the same time, you know, I mean, they're coming off of a championship, and to get a team to stay like as motivated as they are and to be this good coming off of a championship, because, you know, the Lakers have, you know, suffered from like championship hangovers for like the early stages in a season, and then like eventually recovered. But that happens all the time, where teams are just kind of nonchalant after they win a title until they kind of struggle early in the season, then they get it going. But this team was just, you know, they came out guns blazing right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And, you know, under Luke Walton, they've gone to another level, which is really impressive, because they were, what, a 65, 67 win team last year or whatever it was. And, I mean, now, like, they actually have a legitimate shot at, you know, beating the Bulls' 72-10 record. So
I think they're on pace for something like 76 or something like that, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the new year, and they've lost two games. And one was because Steph wasn't playing, you know, so no, obviously their success isn't because of Luke Walton. It's because of how talented and good they are. But, yeah, at the same time, like, he hasn't gotten in the way. They have played better than what they were last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you watch him play, he's made, like, really good in-game adjustments and things like that, like certain, like, roster substitutions. And I think, you know, you got to give him some credit for keeping them motivated coming off of a title and just staying hungry and, you know, giving up something to kind of to strive for. So, but no, that's definitely a valid concern. But I'll take my chances if he was the Lakers head coach. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, that's gonna do it for our questions. Do you have anything else you wanted to touch on before we sign off?
Don't think so. I'm gonna try to watch Star Wars sometime soon.
Yeah, like in the next like 24 hours.
Nah, probably not.
I might not bring you back on the podcast until you go see it. So,
good thing they don't have a game until Sunday.
You got 48 hours, man. Figure it out. All right. Yeah, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for everybody that sent us questions. Thanks for those of you guys that followed along and dealt with us talking about tacos, kangaroos, Star Wars, Australia, all that stuff. And
hey, technically, tacos have like a pouch, like kangaroos. Just random thought.
We gotta sign off before this gets even worse. This is approaching Anthony Irwin levels of like Anthony Irwin's puns levels of bad. So yeah, that's gonna do it for us. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and I will say, may the force be with you.